Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
All right, welcome back to the Handmade Podcast, episode 65. Derek, we finally reached retirement age. How does it feel?
Exhausting. It's isn't that what we just said? We're all exhausted.
Does that mean we're gonna stop it?
Yeah, I think our pension comes in from Patreon after this episode, and then that's
nice.
We're done.
Nice. Oh man, if I was 65, I'd be done already. But right. I would have been retired for 3 years already. But no. Dude, when you really think about it, that's a lot, huh? 65.
Yeah.
You sure it's
what
not
are we
going
to do when we get
five?
To 100?
Let's have a big party like Jimmy had.
Yeah.
I think we should have it at Jimmy's house, but we won't tell him until everyone gets there.
Well, it's funny.
He wouldn't mind.
He'd just be like, oh, there's a bunch of people down in the bar.
Oh, it's the usual suspects.
Those are a new 100 people that just showed up at my house. But it's funny, where I was working last week, I was on the phone with them, and I hung up, and I texted him right after. I was like, man, this is where I met you. I was like, it was across the street. So when he came here, he'd given out a bunch of shitty tools that people thought were good tools, and he just trying to make himself feel better. And it was right at that spot. It was just when I'm like, I think I've been here before, but I'm like, I can't imagine why I would ever be here. It was kind of, know where it actually was? Another skateboard park you used to skate at in Boston, you said?
Which one?
You went, like under the highway?
Wasn't there when I was when I lived there.
But
they were supposed to be building that.
Yeah, so right there. And it's such an odd way to get there. I never knew how you got there, and now I know the secret to it, so I found it. But yeah, it was just strange. You know, it was just funny, like reminiscing. But that's my story. I'll talk to you guys next week.
That's good. Well, I mean, we missed last week, so we've got, you know.
Did we really?
That's kind of my fault, but
it was kind of mine too.
So, mine too.
I think I blew you guys off one night too.
Well, you know what? What was kind of shitty. I mean, it was like a couple different things, but I was in Florida and the Dominican Republic last week for work, and where I stay in the Dominican Republic is like a rented house that the visiting kind of staff and people that work for the company or just are involved with the project, we all stay at. And last time I was there, it had great Wi-Fi. And this time when I was there, there must be like one of those Wi-Fi extension systems where like there's multiple like hubs, and the hub that I connect to just had no internet. So like it was broadcasting great signal with no fucking internet. So I was like, which kind of sucked because I was away from home. I was like trying to talk to Angela, like no, there's no cell signal at all, and then barely any internet. So but Paul, did you see, I don't think you reacted to it, did you see the picture of the bellhop, my Dominican bellhop?
No. Well, let me see, hold on.
I'm gonna send it again. It was so funny.
Oh,
so,
this guy?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me watch it. What the hell's in his right hand? A gun?
No, that's my neighbor, the guy with the gun. pistol whipping the other guy.
Holy shit, he's got a shotgun for protection? That's the security? Yeah. He's like an old man.
Dude, so it was so funny. So, like, the house we stay at is like a private, you know, it's, I don't know, I'm in a third world country. So there's a security guard that he guards the gate. And, like, when you stay at the house, you get, like, a garage door opener that lets you in the gate. And, like, if the gate opens, he knows that you belong there. Because, like, nobody has the garage door openers unless you're staying there. So the garage door opener wasn't working. The gate was broken. So we went to, like, the service gate and just started knocking on the gate. This is at, like, 10 o'clock at night. So he comes to the gate with the shotgun being like, who the fuck is here? And then he saw, like, he caught, like, we had the headlights on, so which made him even more suspicious because the headlights were, like, blinding him. So then he, like, kind of poked his head around. And he saw it was us, and then he, you know, started laughing. And then I hadn't gotten to the property yet, so he grabbed my bag, and he doesn't speak any English. And I'm like, no, 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 no. He's like, yes, 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 yes. So he's holding, carrying my bag with, in one hand with the shotgun in the other hand.
Jesus Christ.
So funny. And then he did the same thing the next night, but the next night I was there by myself and I was a little more worried I was going to get blasted. But anyway, I felt safe.
So, as long as you feel safe, you are safe.
Yeah, that's it. So how was your guys' week? Paul, what have you been up to? I feel like we haven't heard from Paul Pinto. You're either just on top of a building or you've been like wakeboarding with your friends.
No, no wakeboarding. Last year at this time, I was wakeboarding. Remember that? I'm actually going to post that video, I think.
I want to see it.
But
we went kayaking last week, actually.
Oh, did you really? It has been really nice out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've just been busy up at that job in Kent and then busy with a couple other jobs. We have new ones starting, trying to wrap up old jobs. So I'm tired.
That's the one, the frame that you guys put up,
the one in Kent,
is that the one?
Yeah,
the like retirement home. Or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah. The rehab, yeah.
Rehab.
So that one's pretty much finished. Like a couple little things we got to do, but that was tricky, like real tricky, just to because the steel was so crazy, like the way it was designed. But we figured it out. No errors on our end, which was good.
The way you said that makes it sound like there were errors.
There were errors, not our fault, you know.
Does the homeowner listen to this podcast?
The homeowner?
There's no homeowner.
Who are you doing the work
for? The property
for?
Owner.
Oh, says. No. I don't think so.
All right, just want to make sure.
Oh, no, the GC is, like, well aware of the... It was an older steel company who we took over the job from, like, had a bunch of screw-ups.
Yeah,
you said that. Yeah, so we figured it all out.
Nice. Sure it feels good to be close to the end of that one. It doesn't sound like we're done yet, but
yeah, there's like just like they gotta do like the inspection and everything. I'm sure they'll come up with something just because they'll try and get nail you with something no matter what, so but it shouldn't be too bad.
Do they test? Do they ever do ultrasonic on those?
That's what they're doing.
Welds or anything?
Yeah.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Who pays for that?
It's the... No, we don't pay for that. The owner of the project, I guess, hires this company that's been checking, you know, all the entire job. And, like, the guy I got, of course, is like, you know... thinks he's like he's taking it. We think he's inspecting the World Trade Center. This guy, you know, yeah,
nice.
It's like just one of these typical. It's like just shut up.
They check every weld.
No, I mean, I'm sure if they start catching a bunch of stuff, then they'll go check it. You know, who knows what's gonna happen? Yeah. But
now, what causes that? Project... Do they check it? On every job?
They do an inspection, a visual inspection, and, like, the ultrasonic thing on certain ones. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
On my job, like, when we did the rooftop penthouse, the thing that was, like, that, like, whatever it was, like, 100,000-pound, like, rooftop assembly,
mm-hmm.
they had it called out on the drawings which welds needed to be tested.
Oh,
okay. It was, like, already, like, and the inspector came... So when the beams were put in place, they were tacked. Then the inspector came through and marked all the joints that he was going to test.
Oh, okay.
And then came back and actually was there the day the guys welded them and tested them the same day. So, like, a guy would finish, because these were, it was crazy, Paul, and I'm sure I've showed you photos, maybe just, like, one at a time, but one day I should show you, like, the whole album of it, because the beams were, they were 10 by 18 or 8 by 14 rectangular tube, half-inch thick wall.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Galvanized.
Oh, wow.
Pre-galvanized, and then they had they had half-inch plate flanges welded inside so that it was like a, you know, like a socket joint.
Oh, okay.
And then that whole thing had to get like a full penetration weld around the outside because it was holding up like a 100,000-pound unit on a roof.
Wow.
So, like, obviously the stakes were pretty high.
Was, but, like, dunnage for, like, air conditioning stuff?
Exactly. Dunnage for a penthouse. Remember, well, I told you guys about, this is pre-podcast, but this company that at the building that I manage in New Jersey, the construction project, they had a 100,000-pound penthouse unit that was fabricated in Minnesota and then taken apart into five sections and then brought to New Jersey, craned onto the roof in five sections, and then assembled on the roof on top of the dunnage. And it was a self-contained lab quality air filtration, water filtration, heat, and like redundant like cell storage and all this crazy shit. And what was so cool about it was like it just showed up and they just piped into it. Like, wow. It was like amazing. And they spent like, I'll tell you guys in the after show how much they spent on it because it's nobody's business. But they spent a lot of money. There was a lot of digits associated with this penthouse unit. Very cool though. Really like amazing engineering. But so how have they done any UT tests on your welds yet?
No, I think tomorrow. But
did you have to do a lot of welding in the field, or was it bolting?
There was a good amount. There was a couple moment connections, and then like there was a good amount of those, and then like all the peaks, like some of the shit was like so unnecessary, because I even had my engineer come look at it, because I was like asking him some questions about it, like what the best way to do things was, and he's like, it's so unnecessary to even do like be welding some of these things. Like there was like at the top of the peak, there's like literally, what is it, probably 10 bolts on the entire connection. He's like, you could have 4 bolts and it would hold. He's like, but there's 10 bolts and you're welding both the top and the bottom of the top and bottom flange, like full penetration weld. He's like, it's just so much, like they don't even, you know, they're not doing anything.
Now, why'd they do steel? Is it a design element in the house, or is it just, is it cheaper?
It's probably the code.
It's a building. It's part of a bigger building. You really couldn't, I mean, I guess you could do it out of wood, but it would have to be like timber frame kind of, because it's a big open room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's all or open truss. Inside.
You could do it
with
trusses too.
Yeah. Trusses. But I think they want that look like the, what is it, like a vaulted ceiling or something. Like, but actually the building next door to it, which is a lot bigger, is this crazy timber frame with all metal connections and like turnbuckles. I'll take some pictures of it. It's insane. Like, it's like a kind of like an auditorium, and the floor like sinks down, and there's, I guess they're going to put seating in, and there's a stage for whatever, you know, type of meetings or presentations they're probably going to have in this place. But that building's like amazing. I don't know.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I like that.
We'll see what happens.
When you're gonna be done with it?
Probably like in the next week. There's not really anything more to put up except for these four short little pieces of tube that have these crazy compound miters. Like I'll send you guys pictures of the plans. Like, it's so insane. Like they just did a shitty job of showing what needed to happen. Like, and I just basically took a shot at figuring out how to cut these things out, and it ended up working. Like, I test fit one, and so now I'm just going to cut the other three out at the shop and then weld them together in the field. Because originally it was supposed to be, like, a plate welded onto one side, and then that, the whole thing was going to get bolted up onto one of the big columns, stick out, and then hold up this channel that kind of goes all the way around the edge of the roof, like the soffit almost. or whatever. That's
that sounds insane. What a crazy building.
It's just
for such like a kind of ordinary like structure when it's all done and sheathed and
you
know, like wrapped. It's gonna be like, you know,
it like these pieces are even like unnecessary because the channel's currently up in the air, like totally supported by like these other connections. But I don't know. It was just whoever did the detailing on this did a kind of a shitty job.
Oh, it wasn't me.
No.
It had nothing to do with it. So, sorry. But, Chris, when you were down in the Dominican, what were you doing down there? Just meetings and stuff like that? Or are you looking at property buy for them? Or what's all that about?
So, the property is all, that's all, like, kind of done and dealt with. It's, so, like, we're putting up, the end of the day, 75 brand new out of the ground houses are going up there as they get purchased. Uh-huh. So they're like, it's like a luxury like beach club. I'll send you guys. I actually just, it's so funny because my sweet wife Angela has no fucking idea what I do for a job. She says it all the time. She's like, I just don't even know what your job is. And sometimes I like forget because like I had this moment when I was there. I was like sitting in a meeting and I was like, how the hell did I wind up here doing this? But it's a really cool property and it's a really cool project because they're building all these houses. So what I went down there to do is my job in this project is to act as like the approving body between the construction and development group and the owner of the property itself. So like when the construction and development group says, hey, we're going to build this house and it's going to, we sold this property for this much money and we're going to build the house and it's going to cost that much money and we're going to make this much in profit, I have to sign off on the deal and say, yeah, that's a good deal. You're making the right amount of money and you'll be able to get it done in the right amount of time. So, I have a pretty good, this last trip was basically to meet the finance team that's down there, like the accounting team.
Yeah.
And just like meet them in person. And then we had some stuff we had to work through. So, but it's like nonstop. Like I got off the plane on Wednesday and went like right into meetings on from like 5 PM until like 8 PM. And then the next day, like 8 a.m. until I get picked up in the morning and I get dropped back off where I stay. And I'm basically in meetings for the entire time. Like there's no way for me to get away from it, you know?
Yeah. So is this going to be like once a month thing or once a week or as needed?
It's probably like once every 6 weeks is the plan that I'm trying to do because it's a lot of traveling. Like it's like 3.5 hours from JFK to the DR. And then it's 1 hour and 45 minutes from the airport to the property. So like it's like 7 hours door to door by the time you like get there. And like, you know, whatever, like I'm pretty well taken care of with like, you know, like I get a, you know, like an Uber, whatever, or like a car picks me up and then someone drives me. But it's like, it's just a lot of time, you know, it's like,
yeah,
it's a lot of time. So anyway, I'm getting used to it now. And the more I get used to it, the less I'll have to go there, you know? So, but my situation is not as tricky as like one of the other guys that's there that has been there for, I think, going on almost a year, and he's there 2 weeks and then he comes home for 2 days. So he's 2 weeks there, 2 days home.
Why even and come
that,
home?
That I to see his family. He doesn't, you know, want like, to not see his family.
Cash so. 2 days or something.
I'd spend Holy some of his money because there's nothing to buy there. So maybe he just orders a bunch of like goodies to
they
his.
They can't give him 4 days. Holy shit!
I mean, you know what I will say? Like, I'm pretty much free to make my own schedule. So like this last trip, like I knew that I needed to be there, and I needed to go to Florida too because I was in Florida first. So I just like I buy the plane tickets and I go. You know, like I don't have to call somebody and say, "Hey, like, can I come down these days?" I do what I got to do. So, which is kind of nice. You know, but I have to go back in 2.5 weeks, which kind of sucks.
Oh.
So
you do any lounging around by the beach?
I know. Well, I was thinking that's where we could do our 100th episode.
That would be lovely. Listen, in 35 weeks, hopefully I have enough enough seniority to be able to go and do that. I mean, like
airfare included, you know, right?
If I'm not dead. If I'm included in the episode, yeah, that's right.
Okay. That's fair enough. We can do that.
So,
we can do that.
So, Derek, what have you been up to?
Oh, God. It's just been a busy couple of weeks. Last weekend I had Keith Johnson, KJ Sawdust, and it was a great weekend. It was a lot of fun working on a little secret project, and we had a blast. And then this weekend Jimmy showed up, and I tell you, we had so much fun. Yeah, I thought he died, though, and I got a little nervous. I was like, what's the chances he comes to my house and he dies here? You know, he.
Why did you think he died?
So I'll tell you why I thought he died, and you tell me. So we came here, and he was tired. It seems like every time I'm with Jimmy, like when we're exhausted, time to go to bed, and all of a sudden he's just like, let's go for a ride. And it's like, I don't understand why it's like a 2 a.m. ride, but we did it in New York all the time, so we did it here. So we go for the 2 a.m. ride. And we're driving around. He's falling asleep. He was killing himself to get his videos done for this week to come down. And we had a little episode, a little issue. We weren't involved in it, but a little issue with the police. He wasn't involved in it, thank God. But we get back here, and we're up till like 3:30 in the morning, which is the norm. So I said, I'll be up like 7:30. So he's like, okay. So 7 o'clock. I'm like 7 o'clock. If I don't get up at 7:30, he's just gonna get in his car and go home. Like he's not gonna sit here on my couch with nothing to do. Like I have like a 15-minute window of him just not doing anything. So I get up 7:30. He's not up. 8 o'clock comes. He's not up. So I'll give him till 8:30. 8:30. He's not up. I stop breakfast. I'm cooking bacon. 9 o'clock. He's not up. I'm like, all right, this is weird.
Holy shit.
I've never, ever has he, like, slept that late that I know of, you know? So 9:30, I'm like, I'm going to have to face this as a man. I felt like I was going to, like, scoop up a dead mouse my wife had found, like, in the back pantry or something. I was like, I got to deal with this body. And I go in there. And I'm like, what's the chances after? Did you listen to the last Fitz All podcast? They're talking about like a dead body on their property. Jimmy's like,
we just carry it
out back. I'm like, I just get crazy. Like project. I'm like, they're going to be like, oh, they were talking about dead bodies. There's got to be buried. Like, cause that's all they talked about, you know? And now Jimmy shows up dead in my house. So it's like, I'm like knocking on the door. No answer. I knock and he's like, huh? I'm like, hey, buddy, it's getting a little late. Are you okay? He's like, yeah. I closed my eyes again. It was like 9:45. He got up. I was like, holy shit, like a teenager. But
how late were you guys out? You were out till 3?
We were up till like 3, but that doesn't matter. He never sleeps like past 8 o'clock. I've never even been up all, like staying up till 4. He's up. And so anything more than 4 hours sleep for him is odd. So I was just... I was like, oh, my God, but it's great. I'm not going to share this on the Instagram, but let me see if I can find it real quick. I open up the door, and he's laying there, and I'm like, he is just such an animal. Look at this. Oh, hold on. It just died. He kills me. Where the hell is it? Dog goes in there, climbs up on the bed.
Oh, look at him. Jeans and a hoodie.
Those are great pajamas, huh?
Jesus Christ. Oh, probably work boots still on.
He took his boots off. He was nice enough to take his boots off.
At least he's not kneeling face down against the bed.
I gotta see if no, the boots were off. He took his boots off. I wonder if he
probably 10 knives in his pockets.
I was just wondering about that. Like, if he took the knives out.
Leatherman.
Glass. Dude, slept with his glasses on. He does that a lot. Wonder why he breaks them. I'm like, oh, my God, he's nuts. He's nuts. And then, Christina comes down. I'm like, go look at him. She's like, I'm not going in there. I'm like, it's just funny. Fully dressed. So, but, no, we had a blast. We worked on a Whirly gig, and he had this idea, and I was just like, I don't even know if we're going to have enough time to do it. And we did, and it was fun. He made a whole, like, model in it with cardboard, and then we CNC'd it out, and it worked. It was pretty cool. So he's going to refine it a little bit like that, but it was just nice. It was nice to hang out. It was nice to have him come here. It was a little bit insulting when he come down here, and he says, whoa, this is worse than Clinton Street. And I'm like, okay. You know, so... I says, dude, there's no raw sewage backing up on this in this basement. That's true. You know, so
that's true.
It's like, you know, so easy. But no, we had a lot of laughs. Graz stopped by, and he brought a couple donuts to Jimmy, so that kept him. If Taylor's listening, Jimmy didn't have a donut, but no, it was good. It was fun. We had a lot of laughs. It was a funny time. I wish he had stayed longer, but. He had stuff he had to do, so.
That's the first time he's ever been to your shop, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Well, dude, what?
Yeah, yeah.
So, what was he, like, most shocked by? Because, I mean, like, your shop, when you go down there, is shocking. Yeah. And I don't know, I don't think I've been there since you got the CNC.
Oh, really?
I think I have.
It's like fine. I think, maybe, I don't yeah, know. Paul, you were here, because I think when you came up with Johnny, didn't I?
Yeah.
It's funny. I think he was most shocked that he could bend over to get through the troll door. I think he was most shocked that he was that limber. Now he's like, how do we get in there? I says, just through that door. He's like, how? I go, you just bend over, dude. It's not like it's like 3 feet high.
It is amazing you got all that shit down there.
That's he says. He's like, how'd the CNC get in here? I said, I cut it in half and just welded it back together. He's like, how'd the dust collector get in there? I says, yeah, that was another story.
I think you got one more item that's got to get in there, too, if I recall correctly. Yeah. I won't mention what it is.
Too much. But no, it was fun. You know,
You got the laser down there. You got the CNC. You got a 2x72. You got an anvil.
If that guy could build the Lamborghini in his basement, this is nothing. You know?
Well, if you remember correctly, Fonzie built a Harley in his apartment while he was blind. Okay? Do you remember that,
no,
Derek?
No.
You don't remember that?
No. There's an episode of Happy Days
where Fonzie like temporarily goes blind. He gets a bike accident, and he like temporarily goes blind, and they like bring his Harley up
to his
second story apartment. Yeah. And then like the scene changes, and then he's like polishing it, like it's like comes up in like baskets.
That's funny.
My god,
I tell you, it's funny. Somebody had reached out to me. I didn't want to say anything because I don't want them hounded by people, but they're like, hey, you know, Wall Control really wants to do some stuff with you, blah blah blah. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll do it. I says, I have no wall space. I says, for me to make wall space, I gotta take stuff down. And I said, they have to send me stuff to fit all this stuff. So she's like, send me some pictures. I send her a video. She's like, oh my god. And I was like, yeah, it's a lot, but I was like, it could be done, you know. But I mean, a lot of it I could like reorganize and throw out, but it's like I do have to do something with it, because like all the shelves, it's like everything's just like hanging and teetering and stacked. And you know, it just, you touch one thing, you know, four things fall over. So I'm getting sick of that. It just, I really need to figure something out. But, I mean, I think, like I said, if I expand it like I wanted to, just moving everything back, you know, 10 feet, that's going to help an awful lot. But it's just getting the ambition to do that. I've had a ton of people reach out to me that said they'd be willing to help me, which is nice. But it's just going to be hard to, like, figure out a time and a date. And, you know, it's so hard now. It's getting close to the holidays and everything. And I want to get my stuff out of that garage by the end of the year. So it's going to be a pain in the ass to do. But I'm just going to have to do it, figure it out somehow, and do it. So
it's tough. People offer to help me when I'm, like, in, like, big cleaning mode all the time. And I'm just like, you know, part of it, you kind of just got to be there doing your own thing, you know. Then, like, you know, stuff disappears. Like, you know, like, the most productive help cleaning that I ever get is, like, you know, the last time it was actually Angela. Like, she didn't try to put anything away, She just took everything that was like the same and put it together. Yeah, so like she didn't know what any of the shit was, but like all the Allen keys were all in one pile. All like the spray paint was in one pile. And like that is helpful. You know, like especially in my place is a, you know, my place is a bigger, more accessible but as fucked up version of
Yours is just like a big fucked up version of this. And that's
it's with
like,
a bigger door.
Yeah, like you know? I just have like all these little bins of screws and nuts and washers, and it's like part of me's like just throw them all out because you know, it just takes up so much space and I never use half of them, but then I'm like, as soon as I get rid of them, I'm going to need it. And then it's like, I'm like looking at it right now as I talk to you guys. I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck like I got going on here. It's just like, there's just stuff I see, just stuff everywhere. And it's like, it's just so, I just feel bad. Like, God forbid I drop dead. Like, my wife, I just told her, just burn the house down.
Let just fill in the basement with fucking concrete.
Just
That's it.
Build a new house. Just let it go. But it just, I'm like, oh my God. I couldn't clean this out in 10 lifetimes.
I'm pretty sure I could post the video on my Instagram because the guy whose house it was, like, you couldn't even identify him even if you tried. So I don't know if it's like, whatever. It's anonymous. But like, I went to this guy's shop and I don't know that I've ever talked about it on the podcast, but I know that I've showed you guys the video. But like a couple of years ago, this guy... he was selling like steel for like, I don't know, 25 cents a pound. He's like, I have all these rounds. And, at the time I was like, oh yeah, I'll go check it out. Like he had tons of shit. So I go to his house and the guy's like big guy. He was like, he was probably like 6'4" and he was already like hunched over, but his hands had such bad arthritis. His hands were like all swollen, like big knobs on his knuckles.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember you telling me about this.
He's like, oh, all the material's in the basement. I go down in this basement, and he's got a full-blown, like, old-school machine shop in his basement. Like, a huge lathe and, like, big, like, a camelback drill, like Jimmy's with the variable speed and the power down feed. And then hundreds... if not thousands of pieces of stock that he had gotten from shops all around Long Island, like as they closed, like as Long Island's industrial, you know, like abilities shut down, this guy, his name was Ed. They like called Ed, like everybody, he knew every fucking machinist on Long Island. And I asked him once when I was down there, if he would let me film him and like share some of the information and share some of the stories that he had. And he was like, you know, I just, you know, I don't like belong on YouTube. And I said, well, I don't have to show your face. I said, if you want, like, I just think you have an interesting story. Like, you have this history of Long Island manufacturing and New York manufacturing that, like, people just don't know about, you know? Like, because he was like, oh, you know, I knew this guy and he made the first, like, this from Grumman. And I knew this guy. He worked for this company. Like, this guy, like, when he dies, so much information will die with him. But anyway, his shop. Derek, your shop is like kindergarten compared to this guy's fucking shop. Like the size of the lathe in his basement, it was not like you know Jimmy's Big South Bend? Yeah. Like South Bends are heavy, but they don't have like that huge headstock like some of like Fireball tool lathes.
Oh, yeah.
This
yeah.
thing was like had a huge headstock. I don't know what the brand was. And I literally said to him, I said, Ed, what are you gonna do like when you pass away? He said, I don't know, but they're probably going to have to knock this house down and get these machines out from with a crane. He's like, because him and his brother, I think they, I want to say they brought some stuff in through like a window that was no longer there, or they carried the shit down the stairs through his kitchen. Like it was fucking insane, this place.
Yeah.
And all I kept thinking was like, you would have needed to dig a ramp and like, you'll never get the shit out of there.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't sell any of his machines. He would only sell, like, the junk that he wasn't using, you know?
Yeah.
Like he had a beautiful, like, little Italian lathe, like, maybe like a 12 by 30. And super, super nice. And he was like, that's my favorite machine. I'll never sell that. I'm like, well, dude, you know, why don't we get it out of here while, like, you're still fucking, like, moving? Yeah. You know, and I was, and at the time he had a 200 and something pound anvil that I was trying to buy. And he said, listen, all these things I kept asking for him to sell me, he wouldn't sell me. And finally he stopped me. He said, listen, he goes, keep an eye in the newspaper when I die and you see my obituary, just come here. He goes, cause my kids are going to throw all this shit away. He goes, they couldn't care less about my stuff.
Dude.
He's like, they will throw all of this shit away when I die.
Dude, I can't believe you just said that. So this guy I work with, he follows me and it was great. So last week when I had to work all night, we have a department that just kind of, you know, monitors everything when it gets dug up in the street and make sure everything's, you know, done.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Right, whatever. So it's like a senior guy. So there's a bunch of guys from my crew out there, and he comes out, and he's like, oh, my God, hey, Derek, what's going on? And everybody's just standing around because, like, no introductions were done. And he goes, you guys don't know who this is. You're in the presence of a celebrity. He goes, this is Derek from Walden, you know? And they're like, what? And I'm like, oh, yeah. He says, you guys want stickers? And I gave him all stickers, and that's how the kid ended up with the sticker on the hot hat, right, which was great.
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, all the guys at work are just like long faces. They're like, oh, I don't want to hear this, you know, because they just can't stand me to begin with. And it's like, you know, somebody inflating my ego. But he's been going on. So it's like we sit there and we dig. So a lot of times we're sitting there for, you know, 10 hours waiting for somebody to do their job. So we're sitting there, we're just bullshit. And he's like, I just want to really let you know I love what you do. He goes, it's just amazing. All these years I've known you, I never knew you did this type stuff. You know, he goes, it's just great. He goes, I wish I had known. He goes, like 5 years ago, my father had some machining tools that we just scrapped. I'm like, I don't want to hear the story. He goes, dude, we had a vice. He goes, the jaws had to be 6 inches wide. He goes, this thing had to be 250 pounds. He goes, I've never seen anything like it. He goes, it was huge. I go, did it have a name on it? He's like, I don't even remember. He goes, all I remember is just telling the scrap guy to take it, you know? And he goes, I would have given it all to you. And I'm just like, oh, God. He's like, I didn't know. He goes, it's just like my old man died, and we're just like, we got to get this shit out of here. You know, and it's really
it's
sad
a boat anchor.
Because it's
like, a boat anchor.
Yeah, it just happens all the time, you know. And it just, you know, and it's always like you hear these stories, you know. Christina's cousin, he does cleanouts. And, you know, they just get more shit that, you know, they don't care about. They just bring it to the scrap guy, too, you know.
Cause,
that's it. Yeah, you know, they save some stuff. But you can only save so much stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just crazy, you know.
that's funny you said that, because Angela, so like part of Angela's job, she orients new nurses on her unit, and the girl that she's orienting was like, oh, I wish I would have known you, like, you know, like whatever it was, like a 2 years ago, like her, I don't remember now if it was her dad or her grandpa had like a warehouse filled with tools. And they just like she told Angela like, oh yeah, we like, you know, basically just had to desperately get rid of everything because like we didn't have anything to do with it, you know, like we just got rid of everything. She's like, I wish I would have known you and your husband. Like, and just, what's funny too is if you think about it, for every one of these stories we hear, right? Because we hear them like all the time, like, oh, you know, I wish I would have known you. There's like, this is happening 10 times a day, 100 times a day, every day, 365 days a year, that like some old farmer in Indiana who's got, you know, like the rarest power hammer or anvil or lathe, like he dies, some bank buys his house, they just fucking bulldoze everything, and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and if you're lucky, Andrew Alexander finds your widow and he gets all your shit. You know? I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I picked up advice from him last week. And,
that's your new tool. That's a good new tool.
Yeah, and it was just so funny. So last week when Keith was here, the guy that was with him, Paul, Copper Pig Fine Woodworking, if you don't follow him, you should, but he does some amazing stuff. He had done a post about it, and he's like, these things are amazing. You know, I can hold my trays, and they're just, you know, they're so wide, the jaws, blah, blah, blah. And I message him. I says, I know Jimmy has two of those. And I says, I'm dying to find one day. And then, boom, Andrew, you know, Blacksmith Tools just posted a new post. I look at it. I'm like, oh, my God, there is a God. I was like, I have to message him. So I was just like, you know what? I'll take it. So he had, you know, said it was missing the pot. He gave me the link to it. I got it. And I haven't mounted it yet. I know where I'm going to mount it, and I have it on the table. I'm going to mount it too, but I think I'm just going to wait till I move the table because it's going to make it way too heavy to move with it on there. But, yeah, so I'm just excited about that. It's in really good shape, and, you know, it's just nice. But I think I'm going to get rid of, like, I have two more vices I think I'm going to get rid of. I just, you know, they're not bolted down, and I, you know, I have like a Wilton bullet vise. It's like brand new. It's like it was never even used. I'm going to keep that one, and I'm going to keep my father-in-law's, Christina's father. He gave me a really nice vise that I'm going to keep. And I think the other ones, well, I'm going to keep another one for the welding table. But other than that, I think I'm going to
keep. And then one more you just keep, you know.
Yeah, well, that big one I got that I got up at Jimmy's, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep that outside. So, fuck it. I'm not getting rid of any of the other ones, but I was going
keep them
to.
All. Listen.
Yeah, I was going to get rid of them.
When sea levels rise, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm keep not your, gonna. So I'll keep the vices. So that's it.
Keep your keep your house. From
that's why the house is so cluttered.
You know what's so funny? I was talking to I find a lot of like tool deals in New Jersey, and I send them mostly like blacksmithing shit, and I send them to Cliff and John, and they never fucking buy anything that I send them. But I send them the deals anyway, because at least I feel like, because I'm not going to go and buy this shit, but I'm like, I got to share this with somebody.
Yeah.
So the last time I bought an anvil, I don't know, somehow I wound up talking to Andrew about it. And you know what he said about the anvil?
What?
He was like, nice anvil. I said, yeah, you know, I figured for what I paid, it was a good deal. And he said, listen, it's always a good place to park your money. Like, he looks at all that shit that he has as just, like, it's earning interest.
Yeah.
And and he loves it. It is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's never going down in value. You know? I mean, like, yeah, I guess in there is, theoretically, right, like, people could just go, listen, like, everyone could just not give a shit about vices and blacksmithing. Yeah. But at the end of the day, there is a scarcity of the item itself.
And it's only
like
getting
the
rarer
demand,
day by day.
Yeah, the demand is far below, is far above the supply, and the supply only gets worse.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, he has however many 8-inch vices, and yes, there are not a lot of people who will spend the money on an 8-inch vise, but if you need an 8-inch reed vise, and he says, hey, I want $8,000 for one, what are you going to do? If you, you know, like,
that company that owns all the diamonds, like De Beers or something.
Yeah, De Beers.
De Beers. They have like piles and piles of diamonds, but they only let a certain amount into the market. That's what like him with vices and blacksmith tools. Yeah. He's got them all, and he just lets a couple trickle out. Yeah, you know.
I heard he was gonna try to mount one on his wife's finger. Diamond.
It looks like he's got a couple power hammers on her finger now.
Yeah, yeah. It was funny. Speaking of John and Cliff, John messaged Jimmy. He goes, "If that's me and Cliff, did you see the Whirly Gig? It's like two guys hammering." And he goes, "If that's me and Cliff, could you make Cliff's half the size of me or something?" Oh, mine's going to have to be twice as big as Cliff's.
Oh, which is funny. God.
But yeah, that thing came out cool. I've been sending him stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Is he gonna? Is he keeping it in wood? Is that like?
He's gonna make it out of steel. Yeah. That's not. Yeah. He's gonna make it out of wood. He's gonna tweak it. Like that's like, you know, like the first one, and he's just gonna tinker with it. But it did come out cool. It was fun to watch. Like the process. I was supposed to be paying attention a little bit more, but I had my own thing I was doing.
Go back and watch his stories. He talked through the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to get that camera rig set up that Keith had given me. So I got some concrete and a bucket and a pole. Was that the Wobie one? Yeah, that's the Wobie one. And I tell you, honestly, I would never, ever buy something like this. But after seeing it, the thing is unbelievable how it works.
It's great. I've been wanting to make one out of it on the CNC.
So crazy. Like, it's not just extending like that. I can't extend that part, but it goes like down like that.
Oh, wow.
Like and you're supposed to put it in a bucket filled with concrete, Paul, so it has like no footprint.
Oh, that's cool.
Just like drag it around.
Yeah. So, because when Keith was here, his shop's tiny too. And he had made a couple of them. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to send it to you. He goes, you really need this. And so I just got a bucket. I made like a little roller thing for it. I had wheels. I had everything I needed pretty much. And I threw it all together. And it's just awesome. So I'm super excited about it. But yeah, it's unbelievable how versatile it is and how good it works. But it's just cool. I thought it was just like an accordion thing, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it drops down, this, that. Cool.
Is that the one? Is that the version one or the did he make? He built that, right?
Keith I don't made know. It, or Keith did he bought. Just make it must it for be you? Version two because Keith bought the plans for it. Made a couple. He had his buddy CNC him out, and he made a couple, and he just got me one. So I'm not sure. But this one's good. So I would guess. Version
so wait.
Two.
So he made it and brought it to you, or you made
he
it?
He mailed it to me. It's funny. He came in a box. I thought it was a Starrett box, but it just was the same colors. And I'm waiting for something from them. I was like, oh, my God, this is awesome. It came so quick, and I opened it. Like, first, I was kind of bummed out. I'm like, oh, fuck. But it's like, you know, it's still awesome to get something, but it wasn't what I was expecting. Yeah. But I'm happy. I mean, he sent all, like, the camera, like, rigging and everything. So
nice.
Yeah, he hooked me up. He's a good guy. I love Keith, so good guy.
Yeah, I was thinking about making one of those for over the lathe because I feel like that's a perfect thing, like, over a metal lathe,
you
know?
Yeah.
To, like,
yeah, it's unbelievable. Get out on. It's really – I don't know. I didn't see the video when Wobie made it. I don't know if he designed it or, you know, what. I mean, somebody.
I think it's his thing. I think it's his.
Yeah, it's amazing how it works. It just, it works cool, so.
Yeah, and then the idea is that it just, like, slips over a piece of black pipe, and it's kind of like a friction fit on the black pipe, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, so the there's, like, pieces of wood that go around it, and they're elongated holes. So I just, like, Keith used, like, 1-inch conduit. I got 1-inch black gas pipe. And it just, like, those pieces are adjustable, so you can make it tight to it. And then there's just a thumb screw on the side, which Keith didn't send, the jerk. And the thumb screw just holds it up and down the pole, and then it just pulls out, like, a couple feet. So it's really cool. I mean, you can shoot straight down and all kinds of good shit. So
That's exciting. Speaking of cameras, I shot with my new A7S3 today for the first time.
How was it?
My new camera. Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It is like, and I haven't gone through the footage yet, but like just looking at it through like the viewfinder, it just looks like it's just leaps and bounds better than my Canon.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing, like, I'm finally pretty much done buying the setup, and the whole thing costs like, I have to be like close to $7,000 into this fucking shit already.
I'm sure.
But like,
more, but.
Well, I've been going on the cheap too. Like, I bought the body, I got a deal on the lenses. I bought on eBay, like both of the lenses. But like, the lenses were like $880 and $900 for the two lenses, which is, and I got like, Paul, and you know, like photography, like I got F4 lenses.
Yeah.
Cause like, I don't really need an F2.8 in my shop. Like, it's well enough lit that I don't really need it. But like, if I would have got the 2.8s, those are like
$2,000
over $2,000 each. Yeah.
It's like with the L lenses cards, from Canon.
Yeah. So like, Sony has the G Masters. That's like their L lens. They have the G lens and the G Master ones. So anyway, I finally like got everything together, but it's so funny. I was talking about it on my Instagram today. Like, everything about this camera is just more expensive. Like, the memory cards, I had to get like these like really good memory cards. Then it doesn't accept aftermarket batteries. It like doesn't work with aftermarket batteries. Huh. And the Sony batteries are $75 each.
Holy
so
shit.
Like, I had to buy 5 fucking Sony batteries because I shoot all day, you know? Like, so like, every like chunk of this is like just beating the shit out of my wallet.
And what kills you is like, in a year or two, this camera is going to be worth like nothing, but the lenses will still be worth like the same.
Mm.
Like,
yeah,
the lenses
and, you know,
always
like,
stay valuable for some reason.
Yeah, and like, for me, like, I haven't upgraded my camera in 5 years of having
my
YouTube
worth
channel.
It, yeah.
So it's worth it. And like, the thing that like I noticed today, like, is the autofocus is as good as everyone says it is.
Uh-huh.
Like, the autofocus is amazing, where like, I don't even think about it when I'm shooting, and just for like this one day I didn't think about it at all, and I know that everything I shot looked perfect, like was crispy, and like, I shot in HD, not 4K, just because I figured I would like kind of start in HD because I'm not really ready for the 4K like workflow yet.
It takes up so much
but
more
everything
space
looks,
right?
Dude, the files are
huge.
So big.
And rendering everything, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I got the new computer, so like, that's supposed to help. But anyway, it's up until today when I finally got to use it, I was like, why did I do this? Like, my old camera was fine. And now that I've got it set up, I'm like, this thing is fucking amazing. You know, so anyway, I'm excited to get. When this video, I'm making a video like restoring this, like push one of these big push like leaf blowers. When I put that video out, I will be interested to see if anyone notices, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was cool to have something new. But dude, the camera, I mean, and Paul, you're a little more into like the camera tech and stuff. I know Derek wants to just film on his iPhone, but I'm a Canon guy. I've had Canon cameras since, like, I don't know, 2005, 2004. To switch to a new camera menu system, it's, like,
all thrown
a
off.
Different language.
Yeah.
I'm all fucked up, dude. And they call things, like, they call stuff different, you know? Like, it's, it is very nice. It's a very cool setup. If you ever dive back into YouTube videos,
yeah,
might be worth looking into.
My friend who helped us film that wakeboard video last year, he had a Sony, but I don't know which one it was, but it was like a pretty good one. I don't think it was the same one you have, but, or the one you have
new, right?
He
probably
had
the A7 III. So like, the A7 III is almost the same, except the screen doesn't flip out to the side. It like just tips.
Oh, okay.
And that was the one that everybody used until the A7S III came out. And now, of course, like, since I just got this, they'll come out with the next fucking one or
something.
Yeah,
you can't win. You just gotta go for it.
Yeah, but, like, as far as, like, I've been watching all these YouTube videos because the camera's so fucking complicated, and, like, everybody that talks about it says that, like, if you're a filmmaker doing, like, weddings or content, that, like, it's the perfect camera. Like, it's got everything that you need, so I don't know. I got a couple messages from people today because I was bitching about the price of people being like, yeah, I you know, went and spent the money too, and like, you know, I'm trying to make my money back, and it's hard when you're trying to make back that kind of coin, especially if you're trying to do it with like YouTube money, which is $7,000 can be pretty hard to come by.
You know, sometimes so, you just gotta buy once, cry once, right?
It's yeah, just, you know, it's and it's fuck it.
I mean, some things you really do just get what you pay for. I mean, it's
you always get what you pay for.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it just, I don't know. I just need to, I mean, I'm finally just starting to understand the camera, and I finally got a lens that I enjoy using with it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, honestly, it's, you know, I hate to say this. I may stay with the camera and use this as a tripod. It's the fucking tripod that drives me crazy. It just, I cannot set it up. I cannot move it. It just hits. It pick it up. You know, the mic's catching shit on the hanging from the ceiling. It's just, it's always a chore to move it. Yeah. I'm watching Keith, like, he's like texting somebody, pulls out his phone, videotapes. I'm like, fuck. Like, it was so effortless watching him just do it. I'm like, what am I, an asshole? Like, it just, seriously, it was, and it's constant. It's constantly getting knocked over. So I may, my camera might be too heavy for this. I don't know. But at least it's like.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I see guys use for the Wobie thing.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So I'm going to try it because I do. You know, I finally, like, I don't know anything about cameras. I don't even know what kind of lens I have. I know it's the one that Jimmy shoots with, and it's nice because I can shoot in really tight with it. I can shoot really wide with it. I don't have to change the lens if I want to do something, and that's what I can't stand. I can't stand, like, having to change the lens, having to do this. So it's we'll see what happens, but, you know, hopefully this will help out. It's just the tripod thing is such a pain in the ass. I don't have the room for it, and I'm sick of moving it. But that's my story.
Yeah,
I'm sticking to it.
I've had a million different tripods, and I finally found one that I really like. And I don't know if it's the one you have, but it's like almost like a pistol grip one where you can really quickly.
Yeah, I had that one, and it ended up like I still use that. I put my phone on it. My camera's too heavy for it; like it wore out, and so it's
really?
Too heavy. But yeah,
oh yeah, there's
a
way to fix it. I could tell you how to fix it. Yeah, that same thing happened to mine, and it pissed me off.
Yeah. So it's not, but you know, I like that one because that one's nice. Yeah. It's nice and light and easy to move. You know, it's like no bullshit. But that's
the
issue I was having.
Manfrotto Action tripod.
Yeah.
I think,
and it's cheap. It's like $70.
I have my tripod is like a $600 tripod from back in the day when I used to do like nature photography. It's a Gitzo.
Nice. Yeah, it's amazing how expensive some.
Was all like carbon, and this was like back even before like my eighth grade when I was in eighth grade going into high school. I think I bought this because I went on some nature photography trip with this guy. It was actually on Long Island.
Yeah.
To take pictures of like all these different birds. I was like really into it for a while, and I was with this guy.
Yeah.
He was like a National Geographic photographer, and it was like me and like a bunch of like old people, and my dad took me out there.
Yeah.
But it's like these people were legit, and I got this crazy picture of this big seagull. It was like a great black backed gull or something, or some kind of weird seagull that swooped down and was eating a live common tern, like a young juvenile common tern. It has it in its mouth.
Bird?
A seagull was eating a bird that was like a pretty big bird. Like it wasn't a small little bird. And I have the picture, I'll show it to you. It was insane. And the guy like who ran the trip like freaked out. He's like, this is the best picture of the trip. He wrote a whole article on it on his like website. Like it was crazy. But
nice.
So I have that tripod and I've had it ever since.
Up by me, they have Hunt's camera, which is like a little B&H camera, and it's they do like weekly camera walks. Like you can join. They have like a car club walk where they'll do like car shows, and they have a nature walk. They have a city at night walk, a city in the morning walk, and it's amazing. The photos people get, you know, they go and it's like the golden hour and all that shit. But my daughter's boyfriend, Samantha, he's really into photography, and he does some amazing pictures. I think he does a lot of, like, Photoshop to them after, like, to, you know, jazz them up or whatever, and they're just really beautiful pictures. He has a picture of, it's like a cow skull, and it's, like, in a floral arrangement. Like, I don't know if, like, where it was. Like, it's, like, kind of like a Southwestern-themed type photo. It's just really beautiful, but it frustrates me because I've always wanted to like be into photography, and I just take such horrible pitches, I feel. I, like, never took good pitches. And, you know, I have, like, almost 50,000 pitches now on my phone. You know, with four kids, you get a lot of pitches. But it's like, I just always wanted to, like, just take good pitches. I just never got it, you know. But it's like, whatever.
Just keep taking more. You just keep taking more.
I got other things to fucking worry about in life, you know, at this point, you know. So, but.
Fucking hysterical.
Yeah.
So what do you guys been watching? Anything good?
I don't know. I bet Paul hasn't been watching.
No, I'm
anything.
Still watching The Sopranos. Like... the best show ever.
Best show.
How
ever.
Far are you? You got to be like.
I finished
close
it,
to
and
the
now
end.
I'm rewatching it again.
Oh,
you know
God.
What? I'm watching this show on Showtime, American Rust, with Jeff Daniels. I think.
What's that about?
And the main there's a kid, like a young, like 20 something year old kid in it, and he looks just like AJ in The Sopranos.
Oh, really?
But it's a different actor because AJ from The Sopranos has got to be
like 35
now, right?
I think he's like 35. Yeah. I was just listening to his. He has a podcast.
Really?
AJ and Meadow. They have a podcast with that. You know that guy from you? I've heard of him before. Like Kasem. What's his name? It's like I've heard of him before. He's like done other YouTube things. He's on it, and then it's AJ and Meadow. His name's Rob Eiler, and then Jamie Lynn Siegler or something. It was pretty funny. Like he's funny. Like in real life, he's really funny, and he's friends with like Tom Segura, and he's been on their podcast a bunch of times. Like it's funny in the show. He's kind of like no one really likes him. Like. He's kind of annoying, like on The Sopranos, or like he's just there's always something.
He's like a burden. The
yeah,
whole
he's
fucking,
just a yeah,
the whole
he's just
show.
An idiot. But in real life, he's like real sharp and like witty and funny. So, but yeah, I've just been watching it again. It's so funny. It's amazing the dialogue and like the little things. Like if you grew up like being Italian. Like, the little shit they say is so funny. Like, there's so many things that they say that I've heard growing up from, like, either my parents or, like, my grandparents that just makes me laugh. And, like, I'll be watching and I'll call my mom. I'll be like, you're never going to believe what they just said. And I'll just, like, it's funny, though. But
Derek, did you watch it or no?
I watched it a little bit. I just, honestly, I just never really was into watching TV. I just have a hard time sitting down watching something. I just don't enjoy it. And I wish I could, to be honest with you.
Watch whenever you're ready to watch it, you know, which is nice.
Yeah, I really wish I could sit down and enjoy stuff because, like, a lot of times, like, I'll, like, start to get into something, like, on Netflix, and then I'm just like, I can't do this.
You're watching Love on the Spectrum.
Yeah, I gave up. I actually, it was only a couple episodes, but yeah. It's just, I gotta move on, you know. If it's like 30 minutes, I can watch it and just kind of move on. But I just can't get involved in a long series or anything like that. Just
well, I have a Maker Central YouTube video that I watch, Maker Centric. Homesteadonomics, the guy from Arizona. Did you see the tailgate ladder that he made for his truck?
No.
He made like a ladder that bolts to the tailgate of his truck that flips in and then locks onto the tailgate. Huh. So when he opens his tailgate, he flips open this ladder and then his dog can go up the ladder in his truck and he can walk up it. But it's cool because he put it on a pivot so that, because obviously as he steps into the truck, the suspension goes down, and he did it all in aluminum with a spool gun.
Oh, wow.
And it just like he just, it's just like not that complicated of a project. And he even says it in the video. He's like, you could just buy one of these and it would probably cost you like much less than this, but it just came out great. You know? Yeah. It just came out great. And like, it was like kind of an experiment for him to like use a spool gun and like weld some aluminum and whatever else. But I just thought it was a good project. So shout out to Homesteadonomics.
Yeah. No, I've been watching, and we just mentioned him recently, but Pask Makes, dude, that guy.
Oh yeah, his new
just,
video with the the
crazy.
Gears.
Yeah, the gears, and then he did the one with the brass little pieces he was inlaying, like those tools. Me and Jimmy were watching it last night. Just the guy's amazing. Like he's just like so like determined to like finish stuff. Like he just doesn't give a shit how difficult it is. He like just finishes it, and it's just amazing to see. You know, I'm such a quitter. I give up too easy. I think sometimes, but.
He's funny because at the end of the most recent video, the big gears, he's like, I'm really happy to be done making gears. says it in the video. Because in that video, if you guys have watched it, he made a propeller, amazing propeller. And then he made one gear. And then he was like, well, if I made one gear, I might as well make another gear. And then he wanted to make like seven. I mean, these are giant foundry size cogs.
Yeah.
And by the time he's done, he make 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of these huge gears. And each one of them is like many, many steps.
I know. When he's making it, I'm like,
a ton of work.
I know. I'm watching it. Like the first one when I was watching it, I was like, wow, that's really amazing. And then he's like, oh, and then I added another layer onto this. And I was like, you got to be shitting me, dude. Like that thing looked fine before. And then he's just adding more onto it. Yeah, but he's just talented. He's just really determined to do everything and doesn't care if he doesn't have, like, a tool to do it the way that makes it easy. He just will kill himself making it. So I just just that video where he did that little thing with that to the inlays, that was really interesting.
Oh, yeah, the drill thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Pask Makes. He's great.
Yeah.
Well, I think that about does it for us. I think everyone's falling asleep at the wheel. This episode will come out the day before Thanksgiving, so I hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving. You know, drive safe. Yeah. Don't deep fry the turkey because I think that's dangerous, right? You can like blow up.
Yeah,
Derek, do you do some sort of crazy green egg?
I've seen.
No, like we just basic turkey stuffing.
Yeah, me and Derek went over this last year, I think.
Yeah,
about just the whatchamacallit, the what's it called? When you
what the stuffing?
No. When you the brine.
Oh, brining. Yeah, I got my wet wet brining. I got it Saturday. I'm picking my turkey up on Monday, and it'll be the brine tomorrow night.
This was the conversation we had.
Turkey Monday, you're killing it Tuesday.
Do you want to know what brine I recommend, Paul?
Which
one? You dry brining or you wet
brining?
Sonoma. Oh, absolutely.
That's the we discussed this last year, and Chris was talking about how he had to pick up a turkey, and he was saying something about how, you know, if they would have told me this turkey was $250, I would have believed them, because, like, I don't know. I remember when you were saying that. Like,
it's true. I
know. Yeah.
So this year,
this year
I was supposed to get a turkey again, and I something came up for next week because I got to get the turkey from fucking New Jersey. Because that's where it comes from the farm that runs the kitchen at my building. But I can't make it to New Jersey now, so now we're just getting regular-ass turkey.
I asked
my
mom if
she
wanted
one. She goes, I asked my mom, I said, because I get one for Angela's parents, and Angela's parents cook it. And I said, Mom, do you want a turkey? She's like, nah, fuck it, we're making filet mignon. So I'm not. She's not even making turkey.
That's probably a better option.
Yeah, I think
turkeys always come out like shit.
After my dad died, my mom was like, I ain't fucking cooking turkey ever again. Like, my dad, like, cared about that shit, and, like, he
did
it.
I
did
too. It's a lot of work, but it's. I love it. I love the stuffing.
Oh, yeah. I love all the shit.
The leftovers, yeah. But
making the sandwiches.
Yeah. How big a turkey you guys get, Paul?
I don't know. I don't even know what we're getting this year. It depends.
I told them I put my order in. They made you wait till November 1st because they said they're going to be so expensive. They wanted to make sure they had a price so people didn't back out. But
like market,
I told
market
the guy,
week.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I go, I want 24 to 26 pound. He goes,
Jesus
how many
Christ.
People are you having over? I says, like, nobody.
It's just me and my wife.
Tons of leftovers. I tell you, last year I got a 24-pound turkey. It was just my family, the five of us. I cut half the breast off.
Seen turkey till New Year's Eve.
No, I cut half. Listen, I cut half of it. I vacuum sealed it, froze it. And like 2 months later, we thawed it out. We had it. And you would have thought it was Thanksgiving Day.
Really?
I'm going to do the same thing. It was unbelievable. It was just as
I'm
good
I'm coming to your house
it.
In
really?
February.
Yeah.
And I want fucking Thanksgiving turkey in February, okay?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it.
You have it ready
for me. I mean, I was like ready to say we could toss it if we have to and get takeout, but it was delicious. Crazy. Never would have known.
Nice.
So there you go.
Well, Everybody have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you to all the patrons. Check out Derek from Malden's Etsy page, because the holidays are coming, folks. They are going to
get
come,
an ornament,
and you are not going to be able to get shit. You're going to be on Amazon, and Prime is going to be delivering in January. And what are you going to do? How are you going to provide your family with meaningful gifts? You know what you're going to do? You're going to go on Etsy. You're going to go on Derek from Malden Etsy. You're going to get them a Derek from Malden something, and they're just going to like it, even if they don't. Even if they don't know who Derek is, they're going to love a thoughtful gift straight from Malden, Massachusetts. Yeah, so get on Etsy.com/Derek from Malden.
My t-shirts aren't on the container. They're here. They're not here. They're not
That's
on the
amazing.
Container. Yeah, they're here.
American-made source. That's right. Came right through the Malden customs agents.
Yeah,
anyway, we'll see everybody next week. Thank you for listening.
You.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.